Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, 6, Dhyana Yoga, text number 16. Nadyashnatasi Yogosti. Nachai Kandama Nashnataha. Nachaiti Swapna Shilasya. Jagato Naiva Charjana. Na, never. Ati, too much. Anashnataha, of one who eats. To, but. Yoga, linking with the Supreme. Asti, there is. Na, nor. Cha, also. Ekantam, overly. Anashnataha, abstaining from eating. Na, nor. Cha, also. Ati, too much. Swapna shilasya, a one who sleeps. Jagrata, one who keeps night watch too much. Na, not. Eva, ever. Cha, and. Arjuna, O Arjuna. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There is no possibility one's becoming a yogi, Arjuna, if one eats too much or eats too little, sleeps too much or does not sleep enough. Purport. Regulation of diet and sleep is recommended herein for the yogis. Too much eating means eating more than is required to keep the body and soul together. There is no need for men to eat animals because there is an ample supply of grains, vegetables, fruits, and milk. Such simple foodstuff is considered to be in the mode of goodness, according to the Bhagavad Gita. Animal food is for those in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, those who indulge in animal food, drinking, smoking, and eating food, which is not first offered to Krishna, will suffer sinful reactions because of eating only polluted things. Bhujante te tvagam papa. Ye pachan yatmakarana. Anyone who eats for sense pleasure or cooks for himself, not offering his food to Krishna, eats only sin. One who eats sin and eats more than is allotted to him cannot execute perfect yoga. It is best that one eat only the remnants of food stuff offered to Krishna. Person in Krishna consciousness does not eat anything which is not first offered to Krishna. Therefore, only the Krishna conscious person can obtain perfection in yoga practice. Nor can one who artificially abstains from eating, manufacturing his own personal process of fasting, practice yoga. The Krishna conscious person observes fasting as it is recommended in the scriptures. He does not fast or eat more than is required, and he is thus competent to perform yoga practice. One who eats more than required will dream very much while sleeping, and he must consequently sleep more than is required. One should not sleep more than 6 hours daily. One who sleeps more than 6 hours out of 24 is certainly influenced by the mode of ignorance. A person in the mode of ignorance is lazy and prone to sleep a great deal. Such a person cannot perform yoga. Natyashnatasta yogosti na chai kantam anashnata na chai ti swapna shilasya jagato naravacharjuna. There is no possibility one is becoming a yogi, Arjuna, if one eats too much or eats too little, sleeps too much or does not sleep enough. In the last verse, Krishna said, yunjane vam siddhatmanam yogi vigatam manasa. Shantim nirvana paramam matsam sam adigachiti. Thus controlling the body, mind, and senses, the mystic yogi. Best practice is conscious control of the body, mind, and activities. The mystic transcendentalist, his mind regulated, attains to the kingdom of God, or the abode of Krishna, by the cessation of material existence. And now Krishna is beginning with how to regulate the body. With that yashnatas tu yogosti, not chaikanta manashnata. So it is not that our activities have nothing to do with our spiritual advancement, or, for instance, what we do, or how we do it. As Prabhupada writes at the introduction in the Bhagavad Gita, we work not with our body, actually. We work with our mind and intelligence. So the activities of the body are actually a reflection of the mind and the intelligence. Now, we can't regulate our body. It means that we're not regulating our mind and intelligence either, since they're the origin of the activities of the body. Now, to regulate the activities of the body with the mind and the intelligence, it takes intelligence. And that intelligence, we can judge how much our intelligence is functioning, how properly our mind is functioning, by how regulated we are in our habits of eating, sleeping, work, and recreation. That if one eats too much or eats too little, sleeps too much or sleeps too little, it means that there's some disturbance in the mind and the intelligence. But that's for the yogi who's trying to fix his mind upon Krishna. If the mind and intelligence are disturbed by the irregular habits of the body, or the body is disturbed because of the irregular habits of the mind and the intelligence, then it's not possible to focus the mind completely upon Krishna. So these have to be regulated. And of course, Prabhupada mentions that the basic regulations, don't eat things you're not supposed to do. Anyone who eats animals, he's definitely not going to can't regulate his mind and intelligence, no matter how much he makes a show of being a saintly person. Why is that? Because the basic principle of the material existence is to control the material energy. That's the beginning of trying to enjoy the material energy. It's just the very fact that you think you're controlling it. And then to take what you can control and try to utilize it to gratify the senses with it. Therefore, in every step in the material existence, there is a kind of attempt at control, an attempt at enjoyment, culminating, or basically beginning with eating. When you have a carrot on your plate, it looks like it's offering you dandavats. It's completely surrendered. And you pick up the carrot and you start chewing on it. So it's not only surrendered, but now it's going to enter into you and become one with you, merge into you. And whatever offering it has, it becomes your energy, so that in the future, not only carrots will be eaten, but even cauliflowers and potatoes and other things will all enter and surrender into you and empower you to become stronger and stronger and stronger until one day you can declare that I am God. I am the Supreme. And everything should enter into me and become one with me. So that desire to lord it over the material nature begins with eating. And the grossest type of sinful activity is to eat animals, to take a living entity and exploit it in order to feel like you own it and it's going to become one with you, and you're destroying it to empower you. You're sucking its energy so that you can become strong and destroying that living entity. So this is just demoniac, gross demoniac consciousness. And that consciousness is inflamed or increased the more one engages in such sinful activities. One becomes dull until one becomes just like an animal. One becomes an animal actually in one's next lifetime. If by developing such a mentality. Now, even those who are eating vegetables, they have the same mentality, but it's not quite to the same degree of trying to lord it over the material nature. Of course, in modern age, people have developed this idea that, oh, they used to have the idea, it may not be so effective anymore, that I'm so powerful that by my command, bananas are flown in from the Canary Islands. So now not only am I controlling Ljubljana, the vegetables and grains, that the few that are grown here, but now I have my tongue, people are serving my tongue from all over the world. I'm so powerful. I'm lording it over bananas from the Canary Islands and kiwis from New Zealand, and so much is mine today, and I'll get more and more in the future. And if one is actually thinking he's enjoying, then he actually thinks, just see, God is in, I am God. I'm controlling and I'm enjoying. And no one eats more bananas than I do, so I must be the biggest God, the biggest enjoyer. So, even when we're eating prasadam, it is not that we're immune from this type of mentality. If we forget that it's prasadam, then it may be prasadam, and we may in some way become benefited. But what will that benefit be? That one day we'll eat prasadam and remember it's Krishna's prasadam. That's the benefit. One day we'll eat prasadam and remember Krishna and relish prasadam. That's the benefit of eating prasadam. That one day we can come to that platform. And if we don't come to that platform, then our eating prasadam is not that much different from everyone else eating vegetables and fruits, whatever. Not as sinful, but the mentality is not pure. In other words, as soon as we forget Krishna, then we're in what's called Maya. It doesn't matter how we dress, what is our address. We're still in Maya. As a matter of fact, we're always in Maya. But the question is whether we're getting out of Maya or not. And the process of doing that, the principal process, is to learn how to eat properly. How to eat what's necessary, how to chew the food, how to remember Krishna while we're eating the food, how to eat the prasadam with some appreciation. And then if one is Krishna conscious, even while eating, then that desire to lord over the material nature will greatly reduce, so that one will not be interested in filling the stomach up and then utilizing energy for sex life and then becoming angry when we're frustrated, etc., etc. Then one's tendency to engage in material consciousness will diminish if we control the tongue by eating prasadam with the proper consciousness. Because unless the mind is in Krishna consciousness, then the mind is not controlled. And if the mind is not controlled, eventually none of the senses will be controlled either. Therefore, we're eating, we're doing everything in order to gradually bring the mind to Krishna consciousness. And if we're in Krishna consciousness, then whatever we're doing is actually going to be spiritual. That doesn't mean whatever we do is spiritual, but it means if we're actually conscious of Krishna, then all our activities will become spiritualized. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. If a person eats properly, just like if he eats properly, regulated, is that can he spiritually advance, or is that just like a beginning, just like to get ready to?
Yeah. Well, spiritual advance means to always think of Krishna and never forget him. But things that help us come to that platform, we can say helping us come to the platform of spiritual life. Activities of the body by themselves without Krishna consciousness are material. But if they're performed in such a way as to bring us to the mode of goodness, one day we'll understand how to make our activities spiritualized. So we come to the mode of goodness by regulation, things like that. Then it becomes clearer how to actually come to the spiritual platform in our activities. But if we engage in the modes of ignorance and passion, then there's no chance of ever coming to the spiritual platform. But if we spend our whole life eating prasadam and we never remember Krishna, then we'll have to come back. Well, at least we'll get more prasadam. Prabhupada once asked that in, I believe it was Hawaii, that if I eat prasadam, if someone eats prasadam, does that mean that automatically they'll get a human form of life in their next lifetime? Prabhupada said, no. He said, if you remember Krishna, then you get a human form of life. But if you don't remember Krishna, then at least you'll get the opportunity to get more prasadam in your next lifetime. So it's Krishna consciousness. That's what we're trying to do. Not that we remember the carrot at the time of death when we go back to Godhead. We have to remember Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Did you say that by remembering Krishna he will be assured of human birth?
If you understand that this food is Krishna prasadam, then you'll get a human form of life, some kind of human form of life.
And if he remembers Krishna in some form, like the holy name, so where will he go? Because we always think that we will go to Krishna Loka by chanting Hare Krishna at the time of death, for example.
Well, if you chant Hare Krishna and you remember Krishna, his name, form, quality, pastimes, if you're on the bhava platform, then you'll join Krishna one of his leelas in some universe to get further trained up to be eligible to go back to Godhead. But just to chant Hare Krishna at the time of death, if we're not remembering simultaneously, we're not absorbed at least in Krishna's pastimes along with some feelings towards Krishna, then there's no way of going back to the spiritual world or even joining Krishna in his leela. We're just not eligible. We wouldn't know what to do there if we got there. We'd be really strange, you know, wondering, you know, is there an internet cafe around here? Why was I born in this village? You know, what's going on here? Yes.
In your understanding and opinion, for a normal resident of a brahmacharya ashram, how much time should it take for him to become regulated, not overeating and not eating too little?
Could take a moment. Could take a million years.
What do we expect? Do we have some expected timeline that of advancement?
Well, it depends on the training, the examples, the previous activities of the person. You spend your whole life in sinful activity, and you drop into the brahmacharya ashram and expect to become a Mahabhagavat in 5 days or less. It may take a little longer. Depends on so many different factors. Just living in the brahmacharya ashram is not going to purify you unless they have Prabhupada's tape going on all day long. But, you know, hearing, understanding what the process is and following it, that will purify one. You live in the brahmacharya ashram and, you know, have an easy life. And you can go out and work as a grihastha and dedicate your energies to Krishna and make spiritual advancement. The advantage of the brahmacharya ashram is that you could theoretically dedicate more time to Krishna. Theoretically. But that depends upon our so many different factors. Anything else? Yes.
There is oftentimes an obstacle not to overeating. It is called not wasting food. We think that if I leave, it will go to waste.
No, there's so many ants still come and eat it. Sherry or Rajan. Anything else? I mean, it's absurd. I mean, anyone has the experience, you know. Oh, I don't want to waste that, you know, that gloves. I mean, there's five gloves there. I don't want to waste them, so I'll sacrifice my life for the five gloves. I think between eating too much and having food go to waste, I'd rather have the food go to waste. The idea is to become a pure devotee, not to store food in our stomach. He wanted to help, but he ate all the prasadam. He was a good devotee. Couldn't control his senses, but he sure was efficient at cleaning up all the extra prasadam. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. You mentioned that by working outside you could actually make more spiritual advancement than in brahmacharsham if you hide from responsibility or whatever. In second chapter of the first canto there is this, I think, 8th verse which warns us that whatever you do, if it doesn't increase the taste for listening of Vasudeva, then it's complete useless waste of time and useless effort. Realistically, you might be sincere working but not having much time, but sincerely want to give support sankirtan with money or whatever, how does this verse apply to such people? Then Krishna somehow intervenes with direct channel of information what are possibilities?
Well, there's no impediment to remembering Krishna. It doesn't matter what we're doing. So we're not in that stage, and we're just working and sincerely to give some result. Then the result is, by giving the result, we'll remember Krishna to some degree. And that will encourage us to come to the platform remembering Krishna. But it's not that Krishna is going to necessarily, specially intervening, because he's already giving us the opportunity to make advancement by putting us in whatever position we're in. And the more we want to make advancement, the more Krishna will help us do it. He's not going to force us to remember him. He's going to inspire us to remember him. And the material nature will also inspire us to remember him. It's a team, material nature and Krishna. All right, thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.